Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the deliverance of Jehoshaphat as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 10. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And so now, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. We wanted to attack them, but, you know, we didn't destroy them because of your word. You told us not to attack them. So we turned from them and did not destroy them. But now I say, look how they reward us to come and to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Lord, look what they're doing. They're trying to cast us out of the inheritance that you gave to us. O our God, will you not judge them? And now the confession. For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All right, Lord, we don't have the strength. We don't have the military might. We can't do it. There are too many of them. They are more than we can handle. And we don't know what to do, so we look, Lord, to you for the answer. We look to you for the help. It is so important in seeking the help of God that I confess my own inabilities. Lord, I don't have the might. I don't have the capacity. Lord, I can't do it. This is such an important principle that it's been adopted by the Alcoholics Anonymous, that a person who is an alcoholic must first of all recognize that he is an alcoholic, that he has a problem. That's the first step towards recovery. They won't even talk to a person who won't acknowledge that they've got a problem. The second thing is that they must acknowledge that they are incapable of handling the problem. I know I've got a problem. I know I can't do anything about it. And that leads you to the next step, to seek a higher power to help you. God as you understand him to help you in your problem. These principles were taken right out of the Bible. They're important principles. I have to recognize that the problem is greater than I can cope with. Lord, I have a problem. I can't handle it. Help me. I seek your face. I seek your help. The reason for this is that God wants to work in our behalf. God wants to help you. He wants to help me. God wants to do glorious and mighty things for us. But he wants to do them in such a way that he will get the credit and the glory for what's been done. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. And God knows that if he delivers me before I come to that confession, I can't do it, that I'll begin to take the credit and take the glory for what God has done. And God doesn't want me taking credit and glory for what he has done. I believe that my first 17 years of ministry, which really were failure, was an important part of God's training process for me to prepare me for what he was wanting to do. I look at it as a great education. We started out in Corona with, I think, around 50 people the first Sunday. After 2 years, hard work. Giving it our best, we had 17. 5 were my own family. I mean, that's not successful ministry, friends, let me tell you. But God allowed us to experience those kinds of defeats so that we would recognize that, you know, we don't have magic formulas. We don't have any magic ways. It isn't us. It's God. It's the work of God. But he brought us to that place of brokenness where we knew that we couldn't do it, looking to him. And that was an important part of the whole training process of God, because God had this in mind the whole while. I sure didn't know it. I didn't dream of it. And yet, this is what God was wanting to do. But he had to first of all prepare the vessel by breaking, crushing, bringing us to that place of giving up in ourselves and knowing that we couldn't do it, so that when God did do it, we would be careful not to touch the glory. We wouldn't go around bragging about what we have done in building this marvelous large work for God. It's what God has done in building his glorious, marvelous work, and we've had the privilege of being the spectators and watch God work. Now, the same is true in the personal issues of our life. These problems, these habits that plague us, these issues of our flesh that we wrestle with. And as long as I feel, well, I can bring it under control, I can do it, you know, if I want, or as long as I won't confess that I haven't got the strength, then God will let me go on in my piddling strength to try and master over the issues of my life. And God knows I've got a hard head. It took him 17 years to break me on the issue of the church. I'll try. I'll give it my best. I'll keep trying. I don't give up easily. I'll come back. I'll try another way. I'll try another angle. And God lets me just continue to experience defeat until I say, God, I just can't do it. And then I'm in the place where God can begin his work. He says, all right, then step aside and let me at it. You'd think that after this many years of experience in personal failure, that I'd come to the place where I would recognize at the onset of a situation, God, take over, help. But I don't. God shows me some new area of the flesh that he wants to clean up, and I say, okay, God, that's great, let me at it. By Friday, I should have it under control. And begins that long, hard process until I come to the place of saying, oh, God, help me. I can't do it. I have no might against this enemy. Lord, help me. And then I experience the glorious power of God. But the effect or the result is I give God then the glory. And also, I don't judge others who are going through the same struggle that I went through. Nor do I have success, little pat success formulas that I can give them on how they can get victory, for I followed these 5 steps and came out on top. And so I want to sell my success program to everybody. Not so. So God, you take care of it. We don't have any might against this great company. We don't know what to do. But we're looking to you. Smart place to be. And all of Judah stood before the Lord. And here they are. And what a picture. Their little children holding their little ones. And their wives and their children. Here the nation. Lord, we're in need of help. Families standing there together. Lord, we're being threatened. Our lives are being threatened. We don't know where to turn. Well, we do know. We know to turn to you. But Lord, we don't know what to do. We look to you. And then upon Jehaziel, and we don't know anything about this fellow, he just comes out of the blue, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, and he goes back to Asaph. He's one of the descendants of Asaph. He came with the Spirit of the Lord upon him in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Oh, glory. It's not my battle. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I'm no match. I can't do it. But the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. So don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. By reason of the great multitude, the battle is not yours. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they are coming up by the cliff of Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. You will not need to fight this battle. Just set yourselves, stand, and watch or see the salvation of Jehovah with you. You're not going to even have to fight this. And just go down and watch me do it. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for Jehovah will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Oh, what words of encouragement. God has spoken. He has promised to help. He has promised to deliver. He's promised to set us free from the enemy. Oh, praise God. The people are worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites and the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And so they rose early in the morning. They went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa, about 10 miles from Jerusalem, south and east, towards the Dead Sea. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in Jehovah your God. Believe the promises. Believe the word of God." Now there's a test of faith. Just believe what God has promised. "So shall you be established. Believe his province, and you shall prosper." Believe God's word. It will establish you. Believe the prophets of God. You'll be prospered. And so when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Jehovah that they should praise in the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And so quite a sight, the army going out against the enemy, and these guys are in front of them singing praises to the Lord. "Praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which had come against Judah, for they were smitten. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly slay and destroy them. So these three nations that had gotten together to invade started fighting each other. And the two nations picked on the one and utterly wiped them out. And having done that, then they started to fight with each other. Ammon and Moab then began to fight. And everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, the area from which they could view down, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth. None escaped. I mean, they wiped out everybody. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies. There were precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. So God's glorious victory. They're standing still and just seeing God work. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. Now, that means the valley of blessing. Baraka. And there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called Beraka unto this day. The valley got a new name. It was a place of blessing. Call it Beraka, a place of blessing. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, to Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with the psalteries, the harps, the trumpets, into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all of the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah, 35 years old when he began his reign. He reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, joined himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Now, again, when are you going to learn? He had joined with Ahab earlier, gotten rebuked by the prophet. You know, should you help those who are so ungodly? Should you love those who hate the Lord? And he received the rebuke. He repented. He went out and initiated some spiritual reforms. But this king of Israel, Ahaziah, is the son of Ahab. He is a very wicked king. He follows in the path of his father, and he joins himself with Ahaziah. Now, Ahaziah was the brother of his daughter-in-law. When he joined affinity with Ahab, his son, Jehoram, married Athaliah. Athaliah was the sister of Amaziah. So it's still sort of a family thing, and he joins with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. So the ships, the Tarshish here could not be the area of England or Spain, but somewhere along Africa. And they joined together in this venture to gather gold, much as did Solomon, sending out the ships down in the African coast to get gold. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Marashah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have joined yourself with Ahaziah, Jehovah has broken your works, and the ships were broken. They were not able to go to Tarshish. So the ships that they were building for this merchandising got wrecked in a storm probably and broken up, and so this alliance didn't last. And Ahaziah only reigns for 2 years before he gets wiped out. Important lessons for us to learn. Lessons of relationship. Those that I join with in ventures. The Bible clearly tells us that I'm not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Here the king making the affinity with Ahab, the wicked king, helping those who were so wicked, loving those that hated the Lord. Here was the king faced with an overwhelmingly powerful enemy, recognizing that he didn't have the power, confessing his weakness, calling upon the Lord, trusting in the Lord, seeing God's deliverance, and yet lapsing right back into the same sin of joining together with a wicked man in a project to send merchant ships down to Africa. The methods of experiencing God's victory, the way God works, the way God wants to work in our lives, the way God wants to receive the glory for the work that he does in our lives. Just so much to be gleaned and to learn. It would do well to go back over this lesson and meditate upon these things.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the reign of Jehoram, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord teach us his ways, that he might bring us into his place of victory, those things he longs to do for us because he loves us. And thus, as the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him, may God give us that heart perfect completely towards him, that he can do for us those things he desires to do. Oh, how I long to be the man God wants me to be, a heart that is perfect towards him. May God grant that desire in our prayer in Jesus' name.
The Word for Today presents this year's Prophetic Viewpoint on DVD and MP3 with Pastor Brian Broderson.
So I want to just encourage you tonight, and I want to remind you of a few things, that despite all of the negative things that are going on in the world, there's some really good things happening, and the Lord is working powerfully all over the world.
In a collection of messages from Don Stewart and Pastor Chuck Smith discussing world news events in light of what the Scriptures declare.
We need to really pray. I don't think that we're beyond God's help. And I think that, as God said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven and I will heal their nation.
To order your copy of this year's Prophecy Update with Pastor Chuck Smith, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call us at 800-272-WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.